Hello everyone, welcome to Widnes Rugby Chat. It's episode 4, we've got a special guest this week. We've got Luke Backhouse, who will hopefully give us a bit of background on his involvement with Widnes. Feel free to like, share, comment, let's get this out there and get people in. We're trying to do this every week, every Wednesday night we're coming out now. Welcome Luke.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming in obviously this morning, out of your busy schedule.
Pleasure.
So, you know, a lot of people who support Widnes know who you are as someone who's put in quite a bit of money in the club over the past few years and as a sponsor. How did you first get involved with Widnes?
Well, to be honest, I say my background was a boxing background, and then from there I went to rugby union. So I had a passion for rugby. Then a friend of mine who supported Widnes his entire life asked me to come to a game. I think it was about 4 or 5 years ago now. And first game there I was just hooked, fell in love with rugby league and just thought, right, this is something I want to get into. Got a lot of business based properties around Widnes, and it just seemed the right thing for me to do to put back to the community.
And so your business is mainly the property development stuff.
Yeah. So my main job is I build hotels, retail parks, industrial units, things like that really.
So we were sort of speaking about this off camera, there's not a massive value in terms of getting a return on sponsorship. It's more about, like say, putting back into the community.
Yeah, of course. As I say, we touched on it before. I said, I read a lot of things in the forum saying about why would a sponsor want control of the club or this, that, and the other. And the truth of the matter is, me putting money into Widnes doesn't gain me anything. I don't sell a product. Advertising doesn't do anything for my business, doesn't bring anything to me. It's a specific thing that I do. So I genuinely put money into the club out of the goodness of my heart for the club.
So you were involved a few years ago, and you know, you sort of went, you had that the famous 17 wins wins deal. How did that sort of come about? Was that your idea or?
It was sort of a thing we both put our heads together at the club and myself, and thought, you know, we try and give the fans something to get excited for. And you know, give them a little bit more hope without having to lay too much out themselves. So it was a good idea at the time.
Yeah. I don't think we've won 17 since however many seasons.
Yeah, I think it was a great idea at the time, and it's a catch 22. I'd love for it to have happened, and then on the other hand, my bank account blundered.
So obviously, you know, after that sort of went quiet a little bit, didn't you? You know, obviously you're busy man, whatever. And then ahead of the qualifiers this year, you got involved and helped fund a couple of signings. Just tell us a bit about how that came about.
Yeah, so how that came about was, obviously I've always had an interest in not controlling the club, the wrong choice way, but having more say in the club and more say as to where my money's going and how we're using it. And obviously my dream was to have that say as a Super League club. So when I seen us hit hard times and looked like it was going the wrong way, I thought, you know, put me pride to the side from the differences I'd had in the past, get back involved and try the best I could to keep us up, and then hopefully keep that dream alive of me taking over as a Super League club.
How much involvement did you have on the selection of the players, was it?
It was more so, I was given the names, what they've done, who it was, and basically it was, look, this is who we can get, this is how much it'll be, what do you think? And that was it really. And from, you know, the players that we did get, I mean, they're good players. So I thought, you know, I know a lot of people get frustrated that we'll be signing them on loan to the end of the season and thinking, oh, they won't have the heart in the game, but they were still top quality players, some of them international players, so I thought, you know, it's better than nothing.
Yeah. I mean, do you think in hindsight it'd be better to have, you know, would it have been a different outcome if those players had been in from maybe the start of the season, you know?
Yeah, massively. I mean, I think, you know, you look at some of the players we've had out injured, and I remember looking at the stats and I think it said we had for 74-75% of our games, we had over 65-70% of our first team injured. And I think that's just where we've maybe lacked in the past, is having, we've got a strong team, but we've lacked with a strong bench and a strong squad to back them up whenever anyone is injured. So I think if we'd have had the likes of Charlie Good, for instance, I think if we'd have been in from day one, you know, get that bit of experience in the Super League under him, he'd have been a phenomenal player for us.
Yeah. And And I guess Dennis Betts went midway through the season. I guess he was a bit of a victim of probably not having that investment in the team. But also that sort of triggered the run. It was very difficult, the losing run that the club went on, to sort of get out of that, almost like got in a hole that was too deep to get out of.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of respect and a lot of time for Dennis. I think that Dennis is a great fan, and I think he's a great coach. I think it was unfortunate for him that, one, he wasn't in the position where he could ever pick the players that he was bringing into the club. He basically had to make do with what he had. And two, with the way the club went towards the end, I think Dennis was sort of a sacrificial lamb, where it was put him up to, you know, save others.
And in many ways, since he's gone, I guess that's been the case in point. It's proved that, whatever people's opinion is of Dennis Betts as a coach, the fact that it's got worse since he's left perhaps suggests that it wasn't just about the coach, it was more about maybe the investment in the team, the recruitment, what's happening behind the scenes.
Yeah, a million percent. You know, one thing about Dennis, and I said this to numerous people when we went into the Super 8, no disrespect to Franny, because I think Franny's a good fella, a good coach, but I think if we'd have gone into the Super 8 with Dennis, Dennis was known for survival. He knew how to survive, he knew how to get us through games when it mattered. And I don't think we would be where we are now if we'd have just kept Dennis till the end of the season. And I know hindsight's a great thing, but we wouldn't have been any worse off than we are now by keeping Dennis.
Well, I mean, I agree. I mean, obviously, Dennis had the two. He had the two, but we pretty comfortably got out of the qualifiers. I know it was a bit hairy in 2017, obviously, where we won at Catalan, but we still managed to do it without needing a £1 million game. And the reality is we didn't even make the £1 million game this year. So, but in terms of, you know, we speak about money a lot, and is Widnes's big problem the lack of money? Where do you stand in, I know a few people have said, you know, can Luke take over the club, or is Luke interested in taking over the club? Is that something that you've looked at doing?
That's been my interest from day one, to be honest. Maybe not in the first year, because I was just getting into things at the club, understanding the game, but obviously being a businessman, once I started seeing how it was running the ins and outs, I thought this is something that I could make work, especially with the right passion. And I do think it still could be. I would love, you know, to take over the club. And by take over, I mean I wouldn't want any say so in players, in who we buy. That's not what an owner's job is in my eyes. You know, I'm sure the likes of Abramovich don't pick what players they're gonna go and buy. That's up to their staff. So I've seen people put in forums, why would I want control of it? Why would I want this? I'm gonna do this. No such thing. My sole thing would be to make a success by putting my input. You know, I'm not a rugby league coach. I can't tell people what to do on the pitch. I'd hire the best people for that. That's what my input would be.
Yeah. And is it as cut and dry as that in terms of, you know, yeah, you'd own the club or whatever, there's no sort of ulterior motive, or there's no real, you're not looking at it and thinking, well, I need to get this. I mean, because presumably you've not got an endless pit of money that you can keep chucking into the club. So I guess you've got to run it in a way where it's long-term or sustainable, or how would you address that?
I think, like we touched on before, I think the idea of someone taking over the club and throwing a load of money on it is going to make it better overnight. Like we said about Abramovich when he bought Chelsea, you can go and buy every top player, and if you don't play together and know how to play together, you're not going to be a success. And then, you know, we've seen it at Lee. We've seen another team to go and spend a lot of money, but they don't have the time to let it work together, and then they run out by the time they're starting to get somewhere. And in regards to ulterior motive, it makes me laugh when I've read on forums, or it's fit for my benefit, or I've got ulterior motives. Widnes is probably one of the very few clubs where there could not be an ulterior motive, for the simple fact we don't own anything, we don't own our stadium. All you're getting when you buy Widnes is basically a wage bill and a team.
Yeah.
There's no real franchise, because outside of Widnes, Widnes wouldn't mean anything to any other city or any other country, as we've heard rumours of, you know, people coming in to buy it. So there actually could be no ulterior motive in buying Widnes.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, you're from Liverpool yourself. Do you see that as a potential market, potentially, if you were to take over the club, to maybe reach out towards that way?
Yeah, that million percent. You know, as I say, we had a chat before about this. The thing that shocks me the most born and bred in Liverpool my whole life, and every time I opened the local paper, the rugby league pages are covered with Saints, who were probably 10 miles further away from Liverpool than Widnes are, and I could never understand why we've got such a vast market in one of the biggest cities in the country that is untouched by this club.
So, speaking about the infrastructure, I suppose, you know, you mentioned Lee, you look at Salford, where effectively two rich men that have come in, chucked a load of money in, and it's not really worked out for them. I mean, Salford aren't in any better position than they were when Kirkus went in. Lee is sort of on the backsides at the moment. What is it, whatever people think of the current custodians of the club, is it being responsible on their part that they don't just want to hand it over to any businessman to chuck a load of money in, because they don't want it to go, I mean, obviously they've worked on it for 10 or so years, they don't want it to almost be like a boom and bust type thing where someone comes in, buys it, and in 5 years it's gone bust.
Yeah, and I understand people being a bit cautious of that, because you know, we've seen it in the past with the previous owners of the club as well, what they've done with it. But I think it gets to the point where if the ship's sinking, there's got to be a point where you think if there's a chance of someone saving it, then you know, take that chance. And I think that's where we're lacking at the minute. Maybe people are holding on too much for thinking it's going to change round overnight, and I just don't see that happening at the minute.
And it's difficult, like you said, there's no real assets to the club apart from the brand, or it's more the history, isn't it, rather than the brand, it's more the history of the club. So how do you as a business person analyse the value of that? Because, you know, presumably the club at the moment, they'll have an idea of what they value it at, and it might be completely different to what you value it at.
In regards to values, I still wouldn't know how to put a value on the club, because as I say, you know, you've got no assets to come with the club. Basically what you're valuing is a chance that it could work and a chance that it could not, because if it went wrong, it's not like, you know, we have these other clubs like Bradford, for instance, they own their stadium when they went, and other clubs, if I put money into Widnes and it doesn't work, there's no backstop. I've got nowhere to turn, so nothing to sell, to reclaim anything. So you're literally buying a chance to make it a success. And how I value it myself, or on what I could make the value up on, is the empty seats. That's the one thing that I look at every time we've got a home game, and I look how many empty seats are, and I think the potential that this has got, that's what it could grow into.
How important is the council, I guess, in everything? Because, you know, they're the ones who own the stadium, and ultimately you've got to have a good, you know, I don't think it's a secret that there's strained relations between the club and the council at the moment. How does that impact on what you could potentially do?
To be honest, I think the stigma around the council could be due to the current relationship they have with the club, and I think that could change, because on other things, the council, I think, are one of the best councils to deal with in the country. And I think with a new relationship going in there, I think it's something that could work together, you know, because the council bring a lot to that as well as the club do. So I think it just needs a fresh face or a fresh relationship to go in there and make it work.
Because, you know, we look at Casper have done really well, and that's a similar size sort of town to witness, that shows that if you can get the town behind the club, then there is a potential for it. And ultimately, rugby's put Widnes on the map. I mean, probably people probably wouldn't have heard of Widnes if it wasn't for rugby. And I think maybe that's something that the council should maybe appreciate a bit more as well.
Yeah, and to be honest, I think they were starting to want that idea. I think you go back to, I think it was the 16th season, wasn't it, when we had that 7-game
win streak.
You know, we went to them games when we went in against Leeds, and I've never seen the stadium so full in all the time that I'd been there. And it's sort of, the feeling I got, because obviously people in the council attended the games, people at the club, the relationship was a lot better then, because it was noticed how when things are going well, it goes well in other places. It's a knock-on effect. And I think it just started to go sour maybe when the club started to lack. I think that's where the downfall was. And I think as well, I think a lot of people need to remember is a lot of fans work for the council as well. So they've got every right to be upset, because obviously people don't want to pay their hard-earned money to come and watch things which they've backed their whole life and just go down and down. So they know how much they're putting into the club, they know how much they're getting back for it. So I understand as to why there's the bad taste left in a lot of people's mouths.
Yeah. Widnes fans over the years have had a little bit of adversity. I mean, you can't be much older than me. I'm 30, so it's pretty much been bad for the whole of my life. But, you know, we've had the missing out on Super League the first time, had relegation, had missing out on Super League the second time, now we've had relegation again. There's a lot of people that have maybe been turned off by rugby league in general and Widnes over the years. How difficult is it to, or how do you see it as getting those people back engaged with the club?
To be honest, and a lot of people laugh when I say this, I don't think it's a hard job. I think, you know, going back to, as we said before, the 2016 season, how many more fans came back just by winning 7 games? And I think, you know, we focus a lot on community work, which is good. You know, I respect that a lot, what the club does. But I think if you're not getting the results on the pitch and the investment's not going into that, then that's the knock-on effect. When the club's doing well, as we said before, everything else falls into place with it. So I think once we start getting the fans back, you know, the wins are going up, I don't think it's going to be a hard job to get them back.
What are your thoughts on the academy? Of course, Widnes got a really good academy, invested a lot of time in that. And I mean, if you look at the most successful clubs in rugby league, you know, your Leeds, your Wigan, your St. Helens, they're always built on a strong academy setup. Do you feel that that's probably the best area to invest in rather than, and I'm not saying don't sign players, but has that always got to be quite a key part? And is that maybe where Salford have gone wrong, where they've just chucked money at pro players and not really developed a pathway?
Yeah, I think, again, it's a catch-22 because it's great to bring players from the academy to the first team. But I think in our circumstances at the minute, I think we may be relying a little bit too much on it. We've got some great quality lads who've come from the academy, and we've got lads who are still coming through. But I think when you put lads who are, you know, 18, 19, 20 years of age, they've got the skill, they've got the brain for the game, but they're just not quite there in body wise, and you're throwing them in against teams like Toronto. We've got, you know, big lads coming at them. You can break a player down, I think, before he's even 26 or 27. So I think you've got to be very careful how you bring them to, and I think if we rely too much on putting academy lads in as a first team going into the championship, I think we need to remember that a lot of these championship teams, it's their full-time job still. So you've still got people who are at a very high level. You've got the likes of Toronto, who've got a lot of ex-Super League players. So you've just got to time how you get them in, right? I mean, you look at some of our academy lads, played more Super League games than most of the original first team in their first season. And I think that's when you start to see the injuries, and I just don't want to see good lads get wasted through injury.
Yeah. I mean, where do you stand on the team for next season? Is that one of the concerns, that there's too many academy players at the moment in comparison to experienced professionals?
Yeah, and it is, because I rate our academy lads and I'd put them in any Super League team. I think we've got a good, strong academy, but I just think we need a couple of more experienced players to help bring them along. I mean, one of the best things Widnes have done this season is keep Pep. Yeah. I think to have Hep as a leader,
yeah.
He's one of the best fellas in rugby,
yeah.
And everyone respects him. You know, I haven't met one person yet that's got a bad word to say about Hep, so I think to have him, I think he's the best person they could have kept to bring the young lads on. But I just think we need one or two more old heads to just keep it steady.
Have you been approached to sponsor to get a few more players in?
A couple of months ago, other than that, I've had no contact, funny enough. They seem to have lost my number, so I don't know what's going on.
I mean, obviously, just go back to the takeover. I mean, how close have you come, you know, have you made an offer? You know, how close have you come to actually...
We've had talks on quite a few occasions. Listen, at the end of the day, the way I look at it, they know the interest is there from me. I can't do no more than that. I can't force somebody to sell. I can't force somebody to give me a figure or put a deal on the table. They know I'm there. I've made it quite open what my intentions are. It's there on the table. Do you want it? But as far as I can see, they're in no desperate rush.
Yeah. And how would you, you know, presumably it'd just be you, or is it a consortium, or how would you work it from a board point of view? I know obviously we're speaking hypothetically here.
At the moment, ideally, I'd like it to just be me. And that's purely just, I think, to stabilise things, I think. And then once you're at a level, as I say, you're gambling on a chance. There's not many people you're going to get to say, right, let's put X amount in and see what happens. I've been approached by a lot of people who have openly said, if I get into that position, they would happily get on board. And these are people who've got experience in the game, who've got the money. And it's just a shame that they won't do it at this present moment for their own reasons, but they would if I was there.
Mm.
And as I say, if it was me in that position to take over, I wouldn't want any say on anything other than, you know, making sure it goes right. I'm not interested in being having mascots made to look like myself. I'm not interested in any of that. I just want to see the club do well.
Yeah. Is it a difficult situation because obviously you've got some of the shareholders are employees of the club, so it's a bit like turkeys voting for Christmas in many ways?
It could be. No one's openly said that, but obviously it's a hard decision for someone to make if there's things in place for other people's future. So it's hard for them to say yes when it could affect their own future. Maybe that could be one of the sticking points, maybe.
And as a businessman, you know, we just talked a little bit about, you know, logos on kits and stuff, and obviously Widnes have got the Beat the Scrum campaign, you know, great campaign, great for the community and stuff, but I suppose it's not very attractive, I guess, to other businesses when there's not other businesses involved. If, you know, you're surely going to be better off if you've got a brand on the front of the kit.
Yeah. I think sometimes, as we've seen with some kits, not just ours, with other kits as well, I think it's very off-putting to me when I see 20 sponsors on one kit. You know, I think I understand you need that money to make the club a success, but then when you're still doing that and the club's not a success, it doesn't look well. It looks, to me, it looks desperate that you're trying to get every little bit you can out of something. And I know a lot of sponsors who are unhappy with the way they've been treated in the past. I've had my own experiences with it. And as I said to you before, I didn't even get invited to the end of season dinner. Didn't even know it was on until I seen it on Instagram. So it's a very, very fickle business, I find.
Does the desperation become quite insular? You know, like, so obviously at the club's that desperate to get funds, like all clubs are. And maybe, you know, without trying to defend them, maybe they don't see these things that are happening outside that they really should.
It could be. I mean, you know, I'm not one to hold my tongue and not say what I think. And I think I've expressed on numerous occasions that I've been unhappy with certain things. I've been unhappy with, I'd say, with the way I've been treated in some circumstances, which I think's, you know, ridiculous. Because all I'm trying to do is support the club, which benefits certain people in other ways as well. But I do think, you know, we need to focus more on maybe other things so much than trying to get everything we can to just then not put it to use. That's the frustrating thing with me.
Yeah. Is that sort of systematically the overall problem? You know, you've got sponsors, however, you know, obviously you put a lot of money in, but the sponsors who, you know, like if my business sponsored $5,000, that's yeah, a lot of money to me. That they've not been looked after, you've then got the way the fans sort of perceive themselves as not being looked after. Is that systematic to one of the problems maybe at the moment, that these people who are only really trying to help Widnes Rugby, whoever owns it or whatever, they're almost being alienated?
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've found when I've spoke to people, previous sponsors, or not even sponsors, just people who've been involved in the club at any level, I found that they feel very neglected. It's very one-sided. So I think in business, I believe everything's a bit of give and take. And, you know, I know people who've helped out, and then when they've asked for something in return, it's sort of, you know, closed book. And I think to myself, that's not how it should be. You know, we should be trying to help each other to grow. And I've seen that with myself. I mean, even as a sponsor at that level, it doesn't do me any benefit having my name there, because I'm not selling a product. Advertising does nothing for me. And being involved in the club hasn't brought me anything, you know, business-wise or personally, apart from the enjoyment of seeing the lads do well. But I've never once asked, you know, the lads to attend something for me. It's never cost them anything to have me as a sponsor. But if, for instance, I've asked for something it falls on deaf ears.
Yeah.
You know, something as daft as a signed shirt for a charity or something, it seems to fall on deaf ears at times. And I think that's where they struggle, because I think maybe so much when you're flying high, it's okay to do that because there's always going to be someone there.
Yeah.
But then I think when you hit a time like this, is when you start to see the effects of how you've treated people before, because everybody wants to jump on board when you're doing well. It's who wants to jump on board when you're not. Mm. And I think that's where they'll now start to see the errors of the ways.
And a sponsorship compliance is a bit of a buzzword for me, you know, in some of the work that I do in terms of making sure you deliver, you know, what you've sold. And obviously there seems to be a lot of focus on selling the sponsorship in, but then the compliance of it, making sure, you know, from my point of view, to get the players down at, you know, even if it's to cut the ribbon at the opening of one of your places, that's a very straightforward thing. It doesn't really cost the club any money to do that. Is that a reason why you would want control of the club or ownership of the club rather than just carry on being a sponsor? Is that because, you know, because you've not got control over that compliance, if you like?
Yeah, to an extent it could be, because I know for a fact from things I've seen, and I'm sure people know this anyway, but I've put more money into the club than it would have cost me to buy onto the board. So, you know, for people to say, you know, I'm not interested in buying the club, you know, it's nonsense, but that's ridiculous, because I could have gone and give the money to charity, you know, which I'd have got the same enjoyment out of. I've got no control over my money, where it's gone. I've put it into the club out of the goodness of my heart. So, yeah, I think it's getting to the point where I would actually like to see what it's doing, where my money's going, what I can do with it, and try and put it to use my way, not just putting it in the hands of someone else and ending up where we are.
Yeah, because obviously you're thinking, well, really, you know, you've put X amount of money in, and ultimately the club's not really in a better position. Well, I mean, obviously it's in a much worse position.
But that's why I sort of turned then to the investment from me rather than being in sponsorships, because a lot of people said this season and my name wasn't on the shirt, because I sort of realised then that's not really beneficial to either of us, just having my name on the shirt. So that's when I turned the attention to going into players instead, which is why even seeing the players that we brought in were backed by me. So that's sort of where that came from.
You had a conversation with Bradford, you know, of course your connections being with Widnes, obviously, you know, that's probably your most local team, I guess. If an opportunity comes to take over another rugby league club, would you look at that? Would you consider that?
Yeah, ideally, it's, you know, Widnes will always be the first club I'd want. Again, it's a hard one, because I can't force people to sell something that they don't want to sell ultimately, and even if they do, the deal's got to work. And if there's a better opportunity elsewhere, it's, you know, and it's appealing to me, then yeah. I mean, Bradford, you know, it's a club that's got a great history as well. And again, you know, you go to the Oddsall Stadium and you see that empty and you think, well, it wasn't a heyday. Mm. And that's what the excitement is for me. It's seeing something that could be. And I would love it to be Widnes. But at the minute, I'm just struggling to see how it's going to happen.
Thinking about the wider spectrum of rugby league for a minute, do you still see the potential for clubs like Widnes to rise to the top, given the focus is, you know, trying to get it into big cities in Toronto? Do you think that tying into Liverpool is perhaps where the future is for a club like Widnes?
Yeah, I've looked into it in great detail. You know, I mean, I know at one point, I think Kukash played with the idea of Salford Reds being Manchester Reds, and when I sat down, I've had a conversation with him about that, and when he broke it down to me, it made sense. And rugby league is very much a northern sport, and he said, you know, you get somebody down south, turns the TV on, says, oh, who's this playing, this looks good, this game, and it's like Cass against Widnes, and they've never heard of either of them towns, where if you then turn around, it's Liverpool against Manchester, people have that little bit more interest. So I do think it would benefit tying into a city, especially one as big as Liverpool, when it's on your doorstep. And we've massively got the potential in Widnes, even, it's, you know, to get that ground full, we could easily do that. But we need to be performing on the pitch. That's the main thing. You know, everyone has the, you know, the bad spells. Look at Leeds, Leeds went from being unbelievable to then being right down, and you know, everyone has that bad spot, but we need to just get to that level. I think where we were 2 years ago, and I think that would have been the right time for someone to then come in and put that little bit extra in to take it up.
Yeah.
But again, it's, you know, a closed book.
So how do you see it panning out? You know, have you got a deadline or a time scale in mind? You know, presumably at some point you're going to get fed up and knocking on the door.
To be honest, it's getting very close to that. I mean, I've tried as much as I can. You know, I've laid my cards on the table, as you'd say, and I don't really know what much more I can do. Ideally, I would have liked to have done it whilst we were still a Super League club. Obviously, that's not the case, but I believe if I could do it now, there's a chance of us coming back up. Because, being honest, I genuinely believe, and even as a big fan of the club now, if we don't manage to do it in the first season with the way we're putting the structure in now in this team, I don't see us being able to come back up if we don't do it this first season.
So you still think it's possible for Widnes to beat Toronto, if you like, and get that promotion? Obviously, everyone's talking about Toronto, obviously, loads of money. Mm. They'll probably be licking the wounds because they probably assume they would just go up this season, which they didn't. You still think there's an opportunity for Widnes to win it over Toronto?
I think it's going to be very close. I mean, if Toronto's owner doesn't get bored or frustrated with the fact that he didn't come up and is willing to have another crack at it, they're going to be very, very hard to beat, I think, to come up. And especially with the investment they've got. I mean, they're fortunate. The jump they've got on us, I believe, is that they've established their squad last season.
Yeah.
We're going into this championship with basically an entire new squad.
Mm.
We're going to have teething problems. We're going to have the lads going to be able to gel together. And it's not until you start playing games that you actually see how good some of these lads are. And I think that's where we may struggle, which is why I think we do need some experienced old head players in.
Yeah. And it's interesting about the Toronto way. It'd be really interesting to see what happened if we did manage to get promoted next season and place Toronto, because I think he's had two seasons where he's basically had to fund it.
I think he'll get a little bit bored.
Yeah, it could get interesting there. Luke, brilliant. Thanks for your time. Thanks for coming this morning. I hope everyone's enjoyed it. Please leave comments, likes, shares, whatever it is, on the video. And if you've got any questions for future episodes or future ideas, please let us know. But from us for this week, that's great.